Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be looking at John chapter 19, where Jesus says, "It is finished." And we're going to be doing a communion time around this passage of scripture in John chapter 19. But let's get started with prayer, and then we're going to take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, because the Bible tells us that it is good to examine ourselves before we take communion. And just going through a couple minutes of just getting still, getting quiet, examining ourselves before we take communion today is a good thing to do. But let's get started with prayer. And if you're new to us, this prayer that we're about to pray comes from our 30-day prayer challenge. And this is the prayer that I pray over myself, my family, everybody connected to me on a daily basis. And then we use this prayer to do the other half of prayer as well, to get still and to listen and to plan our day with God. And if you'd like to learn more about this 30-day prayer challenge, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com. And on the free tools and resources page, you can learn more about this prayer there, along with finding a written copy of the prayer and a tracker that you can use to plan your day. So let's get started. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening to this and all their families, their friends, those connected to them. And we pray for all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. Father, we thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And we just thank you for your steadfast, unfailing love for us and all the good that you've done in our lives. And I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet, made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us, and to bless our time here together today. We ask you to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world, but starting with the people right around us. We ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So let's take just a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer. This is part of that examining ourselves. I also found that going through this process first helps us to get things cleared out of our minds so that we better hear what God would have for us as we go through our day, and hopefully in this teaching time and this communion time. But let's get started. What were your wins over the last 24 hours? What are the things that you got done? What are the things that you executed? What are ways that you saw God showing up? What were your wins or your testimonies over the last 24 hours? If you have a second, you can just write these down. And then how were your levels of peace and joy and confidence in God over the last 24 hours? And if you've been watching these videos regularly, you know we say it's either yes, it's like a light switch. It was either on or off. Either God's supernatural peace and joy and confidence in him were flowing in my life, or they were not. And it might be a case where it was flowing for a time, but I couldn't sustain it. Maybe I got distracted, something diverted my attention or my focus, some problem or issue came up, and I lost my peace, I lost my joy. And it's working to get it back. It's working to get it where we're sustaining that. That's our consistent state. And if the answer is no, I did not have peace and joy, the solution is simple. Get our eyes fixed back onto God and his steadfast, unfailing love for you. Get your mind fixed on how much he loves you, that he sent his one and only son for you personally. And if he would do that, how would he not freely give you all things? Get your mind fixed on how much he loves you and how powerful he is, that nothing is impossible for him. If you fix your mind on those two things, that he loves you and that nothing is impossible for him, get your mind fixed on that and then get more present in your day. Often we get thinking about the past, worrying about the future. Getting more present in your day, you'll see greater levels of peace and joy and confidence in God flowing in your life. And then what are the things that you know to do over the next 24 hours? Not the things that you're fuzzy on, you're uncertain on, that you know needs to get done today. And there might be some administrative things, errands that you need to run, things around the house you need to do, but we want to ultimately get past those things and start thinking on a higher level. All right, God, what are those things that God's stirring in your life to do, that he put you here on this earth to do? Could be loving people would be one thing. Could be walking out his plans and purposes for your life. What are those things that he has called you to do? And maybe we've been procrastinating on them because they look scary. But again, if you'll meditate on his unfailing love for him and that nothing is impossible for him, I think that'll make a big difference. And then our final question, just to get clear and just to connect with God on another level. God, what is the most important thing that you're trying to teach me, you're trying to show me over the last 24 hours? And just taking a minute to get still and to listen and to follow his leading. I believe if you'll keep doing the things you know to do every day and you'll focus on executing them with peace and joy, trusting that God's with you, he's there helping you, and you'll stay tuned into his voice, follow his leading, let him teach you, let him train you, it will ultimately lead you to a beautiful place. So we're going to look at John chapter 19 today. I was just reading this morning, and we actually talked about this passage of scripture a little bit a couple of days ago in our communion meditation, about how Jesus, when he was offered wine vinegar on the cross, he had already told his disciples, "I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of heaven." So the kingdom of heaven has come and it's fulfilled. And then Jesus is on the cross. He refused to drink it at first when he was first on the cross. They offered it to him and he refused it because he had taken what's called that Nazirite vow. In the Old Testament, there was this Nazirite vow, not to cut your hair and not to drink, not to have things from the vine, the fruit of the vine, while you had a special oath unto God. And Jesus is walking out this Nazirite vow. And then he says on the cross at the end, "I'm thirsty." So we see here, John chapter 19, starting in verse 28. "Later, knowing that all was now completed," "and so that the scripture would be fulfilled," Jesus says, "I'm thirsty." So now it's all done. The kingdom, everything that needed to be done is done for the kingdom of heaven to come. And where does it come? It comes into us. The kingdom of heaven is inside of us. Jesus says, "I'm thirsty." And so a jar of wine vinegar was there, and they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." Look at this. Knowing that all was now completed, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. And then Jesus says, after he drinks it, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." I'm going to go back. We just did this training the other day. I'm going to go back a couple pages if I can find it here. To the story of the Last Supper. But Jesus says, I don't know if I can find it quickly. I'm not finding that quickly, but Jesus says, when this is completed in the kingdom of heaven, I will drink it again. But I want to keep reading a little bit there from there. Jesus says, "It is finished." It's finished. It's done. God's got these good works for you to walk in. Jesus fulfilled the law for us. We can stop working to try to be right with God, to try to earn his favor, to try to earn his blessing, and simply rest that it's finished. Jesus did it. And so then it says, now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jews did not want bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. We often talk about, well, number one, God can do things suddenly. It can look like everything's going the wrong direction, and all of a sudden, God can do something suddenly. Why? Because nothing's impossible for him. God can do suddenly things in our life. And look at the sudden flow of blood and water. We take communion, talking about the cup, the blood. He took the cup. It's all finished. When we take the cup today, it's a reminder that it's all finished. That blood washes away our sins. That blood makes us new. And then we've got the water of God's word washing over us. We've got the water. We talk about a pipeline of living water that God's given us by his grace. He's given us everything he has. He's given us his spirit, his kingdom, his righteousness, his love, his peace, his joy, his faithfulness, his faith, his time, his energy, his health, his finances. He's given us anything. And it's all in this pipeline of living water. We've got blood. We've got a sudden flow of blood and water. And I'm just thinking, Isaiah 53 says that Jesus was pierced. This piercing that caused the sudden flow of water. This piercing, he was pierced for our transgressions. I think that's Isaiah 53:5, I think it is. He was pierced for our transgressions. That word transgression means our rebellion. He was pierced for all the ways we've been rebellious toward God. And that piercing brings this sudden flow. So I was reading through this morning. I'm just thinking about this idea of he was pierced on the side. When we take communion, this matzah cracker here, I don't know if you can see it up close, but it has piercings in it. It has piercings in it as a reminder that Jesus was pierced for us. Think about that. It's boring through to be pierced. So then I'm reading in John chapter 20 after that. And it says, now Thomas, the doubting Thomas, the disciples come and say, we've seen the Lord. But Thomas says, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Unless I put my hands into his side, I will not believe it. That's where he was pierced. I've just been thinking a lot this morning about this idea of Jesus being pierced. He was pierced for our transgressions. It's all finished, and he was pierced for us. And then a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Put your fingers here. And he said, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. So we have this amazing opportunity. We have not physically seen the marks in Jesus' hand. We have not put our hands into his side like Thomas did. Yet we can choose to believe. We can choose to believe that it is finished, that he fulfilled it all for us. And through him, we can have this amazing relationship with God, where we can be one with God again because of what Jesus did. That it is finished, and he has transferred us already into the kingdom of his dear son, the son that he loves. I'm just thinking about, like I said, this idea. I've just been meditating this morning. This idea, he was pierced, and putting our hands into his side. Maybe there's more that God will begin to teach us about this idea of being pierced and putting our hands in his side. But blessed are those who have not seen him, who have not touched him physically, but yet they believe. Why? Because that's a greater level of faith. That's a greater level of faith. And so we're going to take communion around this idea today. We take the bread. Like I said, it's got these piercings on it. And we're going to make it personal. When we're taking communion, we're bringing the sacrifice of Jesus that happened 2,000 years ago, where they had the opportunity to put their hands into the nail marks on his hands and feet, put their hands into his side. But we're receiving this by faith, that these piercings happen. And we're making his sacrifice relevant and active in our life, because blessed are those who believe even though they haven't seen. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he said this, "Take it. Receive it." Receive what? That Jesus has, it's all finished. He makes you righteous. He makes you holy. He makes you perfect in God's sight. That he gives you the ability to stand in God's presence with freedom and confidence. And not only stand, to sit in his presence, to be seated next to God with Jesus, to be one with him. Receive that. Blessed are those who believe even though they have not seen, because it has been finished. We thank you for this bread, Father, in Jesus' name. As we take the cup, I just want us to think about when Jesus was pierced, there was a sudden flow of blood and water. A sudden flow of blood and water. I don't know where you need a sudden flow, a breakthrough of something in your life. I know we all have areas of life where we believe in God, and we believe in him even though we may not have seen it yet. Maybe he spoke something to us. Maybe he got us moving in a direction, and we're believing for some things that maybe we haven't yet seen yet. So if you're believing for something like that and you haven't seen it yet, we're going to believe God. We're going to take communion today for a sudden flow. That Jesus was pierced. And that when he was pierced, we're making this active and relevant in our lives right now. That when he was pierced, it created a sudden flow of blood and water. This washing away of the old, this cleansing that happens, and bringing in the new. All of God's grace flowing in our lives. Jesus says, "He who believes on me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." The blood washes it all away. And then this rivers of living water, this pipeline of living water begins to flow in our lives, bringing God's love, God's grace, God's power, his kingdom, his righteousness, his health, his energy, his time, a sudden flow, just a releasing, sudden flow of all this flowing in our lives, both blood and water. Jesus said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." So Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. So every time we take communion, I think I even got a little off track there as we were going. We're bringing the sacrifice of Jesus into our lives. It's like a turning point that changes the trajectory of our lives going forward. We're receiving these promises. We're making them active and alive in our lives. That it's finished. Jesus was pierced for us. which brings this sudden flow of blood and water. And those that believe, even though they have not seen, they are even more blessed. We're going to make this active and relevant in our lives today. We're going to be believing God. We're going to walk this out. Believing that God can create a sudden flow in our lives. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.